Welcome back, everybody, to Module 4 on our AppFi Deep Dive in the Microsoft Virtual Academy. I'm Ronald Dockery, and this is...
Steve Thomas.
Still, we're still the same people. This is Module 4. If you stuck with us for the four modules, thanks very much. Hope you've learned a lot.
Outside.
Good stuff. So what are we going to talk about in this module, Steve?
So this module, we're going to talk about what we've all been waiting for, you know, package and connection group management, where we actually manage our individual applications and virtual environments and determine who gets access to what, how the apps are going to be configured if we need to make configuration adjustments to them, and of course, finish off with how to go in and do some fine-tuning and tweaking of those of the advanced application configuration.
And this is kind of features that are in 5.0. A lot of these features, kind of the connection groups, et cetera, are...
Well, it's interesting that you say that. We have tried to kind of lighten the load and make the management of applications much more simplified, while at the same time bring in band the idea of these meta environments, these virtual environments, which we call connection groups. Hmm. We used to refer to it as dynamic suite composition in previous releases of AppV, and particularly AppV 4.5 and 4.6. It was out of band, though. It had to actually be done with specific configuration within the applications. It wasn't actually in band from a management perspective. But through the wonders of WMI and some redevelopment, we actually now have connection group management in band.
Great.
So for starters, we're going to talk about package management first. Package entitlements, which is what we refer to as assigning packages to individual groups of machines and or users, which determine how the application is actually targeted, is all done under the packages pane inside of the management console. The package entitlement process is essentially three phases. You add the package, you then entitle the package to the group, and then you publish the package. You, of course, could publish a package first, but and then entitle to the individual group, but you probably would want to do the group entitlement first before publishing it, just so you can alleviate some potential confusion. Then, of course, we can dive into the individual applications within the package, because a package could have more than one application. For example, Office 2013. When you add an Office 2013 package, Ronnie, you know there's a lot of applications there. Not just the ones we're familiar with, but all the tools like Database Compare, the Language Preferences tool, the OneNote configuration, InfoPath, not just the Word and Excel and PowerPoint that we're all used to. We can also use this to actually restrict if we want to only publish certain applications within a package as well.
Not everybody wants, I don't know, access or...
Right. Well, in many cases, we may have a situation where, let's say, we have Office, we have Office, and we don't want to give them anything but Word, Excel, and Outlook, and PowerPoint, for example. We would probably black out all the other applications instead of that. The next important part under the packages node is, of course, connection groups. Connection groups is where we actually will take packages that we've already published and combine them into what we call meta environments, in which we create this dynamic XML configuration that will go down to the clients and basically say, these packages can share the same virtual bubble or the same virtual environment. A good example of that is applications that are dependent upon Java. Well, you don't want to necessarily have to update every package that uses Java if you're updating Java, because you might be updating several different packages, whereas you could just simply update one Java package. And then you could actually update the version of that, and then you can just simply adjust the connection groups and not have to actually crack open a whole bunch of other packages. Another logistical use of this would be with add-ins in Office. If you need to have virtual add-ins that you've virtualized with AppV, and if you have a virtual Office package and you want them to be able to work together, if you want the virtual Office package to load the virtual add-in, you're going to need to combine them through the use of a connection group. And the connection groups can be created from whole cloth using the management console.
And can you use that with the physical applications as well, like locally installed applications as well with connection groups.
What we have found that works best there is to create an empty package that has shortcuts to the local application and combine that with the virtual package in a connection group, and that works just as well. Right. A good example of that would be combining IE, Internet Explorer, and Silverlight, for example, or IE and Flash.
Yes.
So finally, as we add these packages and connection groups, we may want to go in and adjust some configuration, primarily what we call the operating system extension points. These are things like shortcuts. These are things like shell extensions. These are things like file type associations and the parameters associated with that. We can actually make these changes by manually adjusting the advanced configuration or other tricks I'll show you later if you're lazy like me. So let's walk through the package management process here. So right now I have open the AppV Management Console. And as you can see here, we have two panes. We have packages and connection groups. And right now I'm going to add in a couple of packages that were sequenced independently of each other. And then I'm going to combine them into a connection group. So I'm going to click Add here, and I'm going to first browse my content folder, and I'm going to load the first application here, and I'm going right to the AppV package file. And it's very important what I select here, because what I select here is going to be the default URL for the package. So if I wanted to do this in the form of a web URL, instead of browsing, I'd actually put in an http://reference. Also note, as we discussed in Module 3, the previous module, this can be overridden with the package source root value on the client. Now it's importing the package. I can go ahead and close this if I want to. In some cases, you might want to go ahead and close it if it's a very large package with a lot of configuration, like Office, AutoCAD. Some of those really large packages with large manifest files may take a while to import. Now I'm going to go add a second package, which is a Java package, which this application that I just imported in requires Java. But I did not sequence it with Java inside the package. So it's going to need Java to run. So I'm going to load one of my Java packages. And it's been added. But as you can see right now, it's not published yet. All I did was actually add the information in. So while this will now be in the management database, it will not be made available into the publishing metadata until I actually flag it for publishing, which all I have to do is right-click and publish. But you know, first thing I would want to do, of course, is what good is publishing yet if nobody's been granted access to it? I would need to actually grant access to it, which I can do so by going right to the AD access and selecting edit, or I can simply just right click and select edit Active Directory access, and it will take me right there. And I'm going to give this to all my AppV users, so I'm going to type in my domain name followed by the name of the group. In this case, it's AppV users, and I can do a check name. And it verifies. I can select grant access. Now what this means is that this application is assigned to a group of users, which means this will be user targeting, which means on the client end, it's actually going to be published to the user. If I wanted to globally publish to a machine, I would then specify a machine group instead of a user group. Oops, I didn't mean to do that. Let me type in. For example, I could select domain computers, and I could literally grant access to the domain computer's group account, and this means I'm now machine targeting, which I probably don't want to do realistically because I'm going to overlap, obviously, if I'm publishing to domain computers and AppV users. You don't want to have applications, while you technically could do this, you don't really want to have applications published to the machine and to the user at the same time, which all I have to do is just select this and select delete. And of course, confirm up top here, and all is well. Likewise, if I'm joining the two packages in a connection group, I'm going to want to ensure that everything is entitled on the Java side as well. So I'm going to do the same thing on the Java side. A little check there. Select there, grant access. And so I've now entitled my two packages properly. And so I'm going to right-click and now publish both of them. Now, to create a connection group, I can simply switch over to the connection group pane. And at this point, I only have one for my office applications, but I want to create a new connection group for this Java-based application. So I'm going to select Add Connection Group. I'm going to basically call this Java, and I'm going to add in the connected packages. In this case, I'm going to select my Java package and my FreeCol package. I'm going to add package access to group access. And then I'm going to go up here and give this a much more user-friendly name. I'm going to spell it correctly first. And I'm also going to pay close attention to how I order the connection group, because connection groups, convergence, and merge rules depend on the order of the packages. And so I'm going to make sure that this is ordered the way I want it based upon my discoveries during sequencing. And then I can right-click the connection group and select Publish, and now the connection group is published along with the packages as well. And notice when I check that box to add package access automatically to group access, notice it properly entitled this to AppV users to match the settings I had on both packages. Very straightforward process. Now, specifically, let's say I actually wanted to go in and make adjustments to the specific application, in this case, the Java application. Right now, I don't really want shortcuts in my Java packages. I don't feel the need to have them. I treat them as middleware. So I'm going to right-click here, and I'm going to select Edit Default Configuration. And I can proceed to go look at the options for default configuration. For example, I may not want the Web Start Launcher. And of course, I may want to turn off shortcuts. I can do all of that here using the default configuration. Sometimes I may want to get what I call lazy and simply just import and override it with dynamic configuration files, which I can do so, or I can also export the configuration as well. If you import, you're going to be looking for what we call dynamic configuration files, deployment config or user config files. But You're only going to really need to incorporate the importing of configuration files outside of being lazy if you have advanced extension point configuration that's not necessarily covered here, like COM settings, virtual COM settings, object settings, stuff that is related to like advanced sequencing topics. But for the basic extension points, shortcuts, applications, file types, all of that can be handled easily with the default configuration. In fact, Ronnie, remember we were talking about Office and how we look at Office and all of these Office applications here that we may or may not want the users having. Well, I can just simply go into here and select Edit Default Configuration and go to Applications. You know, let's turn this off. Let's turn InfoPath Filler off. Let's turn off some of this telemetry log. Let's turn off the dashboard. You know, Steve should have installed Hotfix 1 to get rid of the scrolling issue, but Steve forgot to install Hotfix 1 on his management server. So
you could turn off Visio or something as well.
Right, you want to turn off Visio.
Yeah, that's, we've heard customers want to, you know, that they want to do that sometimes, so seems like a reasonable one there.
The Outlook mobile service as well.
Yeah. So basically you're configuring it on the fly for the different users who you publish this to. This is what they're going to get.
Correct, yes. Mm. Turn off access. We can do all of that.
And you
that
could update an existing. You could unpublish and republish it, and so the users would get an updated version.
That's right. I could I can unpublish it, and then, of course, I can republish it as needed. And
this gets back to the whole management story as well, that you can really configure and audit what's
definitely
what's what. Yeah.
Now, a few other items here. You can actually go into the management console and, of course, control and delegate your administrative authority if you need to allow for other AppV administrators simply by adding in an Active Directory group. Right now, I have my AppV admins, which for this management system will probably suffice. And one bit of feedback we've gotten is the fact that the Office package right now has a single GUID that is tied permanently to the Office 2013 package, and it doesn't allow the importing of multiple Office 2013 packages. We've taken that feedback, and we're going to be working to address that, hopefully in an adjustment release in the future. But other than that, it is simply a matter of adding and upgrading packages and using the version increments. Of course, this does not allow you to resequence a application and import it in as a new version. In order to take advantage of package lineage, which is the ability to have a package already in here that's been entitled and delivered to a user, and the capability of upgrading that and including a version that can deliver the version upgrade down to the user, requires that they maintain the same base package GUID, which means you actually have to update the application in the sequencer. So to recap, we discussed the management and entitlement of packages, the creation and delivery of connection groups, and of course, the adjustment of default configuration, primarily advanced configuration options within the packages themselves. Now, Ronnie, did you know everything discussed in this module can also be managed through Configuration Manager,
SCCM? Yippee, yeah. Indeed.
Config Manager version 2012 SP1 or later have integrated ways to actually manage packages and advertise packages and connection groups, and of course to adjust the default configuration of the packages thereof. So you're not just limited to using the AppV management infrastructure, you can also leverage your existing configuration management infrastructure if you already have that deployed. This prevents you from having to stand up two software management infrastructures.
So you have a choice.
You have a choice, indeed. Mm-hmm. So let's look at some general resources that will kind of address a lot of what we've covered in this module and previous modules and kind of serve as a great takeaway for our users. We have, of course, several documents on TechNet on deploying the AppV5 server through a script, how to deploy it on separate computers, especially if you're segmenting from the database itself. A lot of our customers have not deployed reporting services yet. They've deployed the management and publishing, but they haven't had a chance to deploy the reporting server. So we have a document that tells them how to retrofit a reporting service infrastructure into their existing AppV infrastructure. how to install publishing servers on remote computers if when you're scaling out, and then of course how to install the management server on standalone computers and connect it to the database. A little more detail about what I discussed in an earlier module, as well as how to pre-create the database using SQL scripts. So Ronnie and I are both reachable by email. rdockery@microsoft.com is his email address. My email address is steveth or steveth@microsoft.com.
I got a capital M.
Ooh.
Yeah.
You're very special. But the official AppV team blog is available at blogs.technet.com/appv. The official MDOT page is at www.microsoft.com/MDOT. And then, of course, the Springboard blog is a great resource in that a lot of special announcements are made on the Springboard blog, and that's at blogs.windows.com/springboard.
As we do releases or patches or any kind of updates or deep dives, we generally go to Springboard, and that's one of the points where we actually flag it. So, yeah, it's a good resource.
That's usually where you'll hear the hottest news first, at least. And at the very bottom there is the MDOT Tech Center homepage on technet.microsoft.com. And
All those documents that you saw, et cetera, as well. All of these can be navigated there.
Of course, if you want to browse the library, of course, a lot of people like to go there as a starting point and then search based from there to kind of see what we actually have in regards to official Microsoft documentation. So
great. Well, Steve, thank you very much. I hope everybody enjoyed the four modules today. I think it was very educational. I really appreciate you coming up from Texas, in case you didn't realize. So thank you very much, Steve, for the time today.
Thank you.